Our lectionary gospel lesson for this day is from the Gospel of John, reading from the 14th chapter. This is part of several chapters in John known as the Farewell Discourse. After Jesus had met with his disciples for that Last Supper, he goes about teaching them many, many things, and this is part of that. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In God's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask God, and God will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Have you ever had an experience known or categorized as separation anxiety? You know, since it's a normal part of the developmental process of growing up, all of us have indeed felt at least once or twice this experience. Like when we turned around in a crowded place and our parent just wasn't there. That's when we probably became overwhelmed with the sense of being lost and left all alone. Separation anxiety can be triggered in youth and adults as well by any number of things, whether it be most certainly the loss of a loved one, something many in our community of faith are facing at this very moment. It can be at the death of a beloved pet, the ending of a relationship or a friendship, leaving or losing a job, going away to college, or watching a son or daughter move away from home for the first time. Or having to move from a place that is familiar and comfortable. I'm sure you can think of many examples. I want to share one additional one. Southminster Presbyterian Church here in Tulsa is experiencing separation anxiety, especially on this day. That's because yesterday at our presbytery meeting, we elected our new general presbyter, the Reverend Tim Blodgett, who also happens to be the pastor at Southminster Presbyterian Church, of which he has had to say goodbye. So Southminster is indeed in a time of feeling separated, not abandoned, but grief. So let's keep them in our prayers. And I bring up this entire issue of separation anxiety because it is the backdrop, the context of today's gospel reading from John 14. And the author of this gospel shares a story that deals directly with a specific and a very real fear. And it's perhaps even worse than separation anxiety. It's the fear of abandonment, of being left all alone. And many struggle today with abandonment issues. And Jesus acknowledges this fear in his disciples after he told them during what we call the Last Supper that he would soon be leaving them, referring to his arrest and crucifixion. The author of the Gospel of John is also addressing an issue that is important to his own faith community some 60 years or so after Jesus' death. For they faced a question that just would not go away, and you know, it still hasn't. How is it that the Christian community can experience the spiritual presence of Christ without the physical presence of Jesus? Well, the answer found in this gospel is Jesus' promise that after his departure, God will give them an advocate to be with them and us forever. That promise that the same divine Spirit of God that was in Jesus of Nazareth will be sent to dwell within us. And that's what we'll be celebrating next Sunday on Pentecost Sunday. Now, different English versions of the Bible translate the Greek word parakletos, from which we get paraclete, as an advocate, as we heard in the RSV, or also the comforter or the counselor. And we're told that this divine spirit is the Spirit of truth. And we're also told that one of the purposes of this Spirit of truth is to remind believers of what Jesus taught, but then to empower them to fulfill his commandment, and especially his final commandment to love one another. In this way, they will know that Christ dwells not only with God, but also with them. And the author of John goes on to reveal that love, which is so central to his understanding of Jesus' entire mission, is not defined in terms of emotional feelings, that feeling of love. Rather, he defines it as accepting and obeying Jesus' instructions. So love is seen in Jesus' life as service and compassion. It's also seen in his fierce protest against those who abuse this vision of the value of each and every person, and the importance of an ethic of mutual regard and care. The love that Jesus commands has as its goal the well-being of all persons, regardless of social status or any other distinction. Well, then comes the remarkable assurance that the love that Jesus offers is, in fact, God's love. And the reality that this love creates discloses to us that the truth that God calls us to be neighbors, to recognize the other one who God also loves and calls us to love. But admittedly, the gospel writer has indeed set up a kind of distinction of who is a true follower of the ways and teachings of Jesus. This distinction, however, unlike modern times, is not based on what a person believes. Rather, it's between those who love God, their neighbors, themselves, even their enemies, and those who do not love. Those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus are defined, according to John, as those who obey Jesus' command to love others. Now, perhaps you've never thought of this as a way to define what it means to be a Christian. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. When we live in love, thereby keeping Jesus' commandment, this is when we experience the indwelling presence of God and Christ. So that, in turn, is an effective way to define the role of the Holy Spirit, which we will look at in more detail next week. The Holy Spirit, according to this gospel, is that which reminds and empowers us to love others, and not only as individuals, but especially as a community. Or to put it another way, the telltale sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is our capacity to embody, to incarnate love. So how well are we doing as a congregation in embodying and living out this command to love? How is love present in every aspect of what we do every time we gather together in community? Well, the promise of God's sacred presence, the continuing spiritual presence of Christ among us, and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit reiterate one of the primary promises of God found in the entire Bible. John 14:18. I will not leave you orphaned. Recall these words anytime you feel separation anxiety or the fear of abandonment or being left all alone. For all of this leads to another one of the greatest promises in Scripture. John 14:27 states, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Chances are these words are familiar to you. That's because this passage, along with the 23rd Psalm, is one of the most common readings in the context of a memorial service. Words that we have had to hear too often lately. And it is in and through the understanding that we will never be abandoned by God that brings meaning to Jesus' words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. These are some of the most pastoral words found anywhere in the Scriptures. And as we are also meant to take notice that there is indeed something different in the internal peace that Jesus gives and the peace that the world gives. So reflecting on this passage from John 14, biblical commentator William Barclay wrote over 60 years ago, the peace that the world offers us is the peace of escape, the peace which comes from the avoidance of trouble, the peace which comes from refusing to face things. The peace which Jesus offers is the peace which no sorrow, no danger, no suffering can make less. It is the peace which is independent of outward circumstances. The peace that Jesus promises results from the presence of the Holy Spirit teaching us and assuring us that the sacred presence of God is indeed among us and dwells within us. And this is what we enact and remind ourselves each and every Sunday when we pass the peace with the words, the peace of Christ be with you, and the response, and also with you. The peace that Jesus gives, writes another commentator, is the confidence that God is God, that God loves the world, that God is for us, and that God makes love real in acts of self-giving. Therefore, neither our pain nor our pleasures, neither our gain nor our losses are ultimate. They do not create nor do they annul the peace of God. So as you depart from this sanctuary today and throughout this coming week and hopefully always, cling tightly to this promise from Jesus. I will not leave you orphaned. The Advocate, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Amen.